He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning, September the 22nd live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, we've got, we'll call it mixed. We've got a mixed market, not very exciting. The Dow right now down 27,128. After a 500-point bashing yesterday, but there was a rebound at the end of the day, which was encouraging. Over at the NASDAQ, we're still holding on to gains there. The NASDAQ, the underneath of the surface of the NASDAQ's up 26. But underneath the surface, I'm just going to say it's pretty wishy-washy right now. The S&P 500, in the meantime, is up 8 points. 3289. Small caps, which now are on a sell signal in my Best Stocks Now app. Small caps look really bad. I use IWM as the ETF that I track the small caps with. They're up 3 points today. I have very little exposure to the small caps. They have underperformed the mega caps by a mega margin here over the last couple of years, really. Crude oil up 18 cents, 39.49, back under 40. COVID spiking again in Europe. Gold up $2 per ounce, 19.12. Silver's up, down 3 cents actually, to $24.36. And the bond market, which is quiet again. Boy, it is just mired in that 0.66 and going nowhere. Meanwhile, cash, the dollar, had a pretty good advance yesterday, and that kind of spooked the market. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. Just a ho-hum kind of day so far in the market. Some little gains there in the NASDAQ, but I've looked underneath the surface of the NASDAQ already. Nothing to get really too excited about as all kinds of hell breaking loose politically, let's call it. I just did see the news that Romney will support Trump's SCOTUS nominee vote, and I think that pretty much gives them the votes to do whatever they can to get a Supreme Court nominee in place before Election Day. And I think all hell's going to break loose. Let's just put it that way. In the meantime, I'm a money manager. I have to be aware of these things. I have to be aware of geopolitical events, natural disasters, spikes in COVID, moves by the Fed, technical breakdowns of 50-day moving averages. It all comes into play in my profession and the work that I do here, trying to make money for folks during good times. We've done a heck of a job this year and last year for folks. And at the same time, you know, you do have to protect the harvest at times. And I'm definitely more in protection mode than having my pedal to the metal, catching that screaming bullet train called the NASDAQ, which has come to a halt. It's in the station right now. It hit mile number 12,000 about 3 weeks ago, and the brakes have definitely been applied to the NASDAQ as we get closer and closer to Election Day, COVID coming back in Europe, all of the hope for the travel stocks and the cruise and the restaurants and the hotels and the airlines kind of up in the air again, along with COVID, which basically UK is being hit pretty hard once again. Okay, well, yesterday we had that big sell-off in the market. We came out of it unscathed. In fact, by the end of the day, we had a very positive day yesterday, which I think is somewhat of a miracle in and of itself. We had the NASDAQ, or the Dow was down at one point, 900 points. And we were just barely down at that point, doing much better. We have a 35% cash hoard right now. That includes our bonds that we own. This is overall at my firm. And we have a couple of inverse positions as hedges right now. And we have some gold stocks, so we're hedged pretty well. We've taken a lot of risk off the table right now as we enter into some very high-risk times in our nation. There was a huge comeback in the NASDAQ yesterday. The NASDAQ was down almost 200 points at one point in time. And by the end of the day, it was down just 14 points. So I saw a lot of buying. I'm going to go through here in a moment what I observed yesterday. But I would say that the COVID trade came back in a big way yesterday. That's long the stay-at-home stocks, the Zoom videos, the DocuSigns, the CrowdStrikes, the Pelotons, the Etsy's, etc. And short the cruise lines, the airlines, the hotels, the restaurants. That is the COVID trade. Financials very weak yesterday. You have the banking scandal now in Europe. We'll see what comes of that. But four major global banks, very suspicious. Trillions of dollars moved in a very suspicious way. We don't know all of the details of that, but pretty much Deutsche Bank, Standard Charter, HSBC, and a few other smaller players involved in that. But tech did find some pretty good footing yesterday. It is up a little bit today following through on yesterday. We're going to have Fed Chairman Jay Powell kicking off three-day testimony before Congress. And Boris Johnson is putting some pretty heavy restrictions. It seems like they're going to close the bars at 10 p.m. over there. I guess it's a big deal in the U.K. You can forget the coronavirus stimulus package. That's out the window. That's not going to happen. I don't think the Republicans and the Democrats are talking right now. In fact, they're preparing war. They're locking and loading. That's what I see from where I sit. Global markets mixed on fresh lockdown worries. Hong Kong down 1%. China down 1.3%. India down 0.625%. The only bright spot a little bit in Paris. And Germany actually up 0.875% yesterday or last night. As the technology and healthcare stocks gaining there. The UK government tells the public to work from home if possible, just weeks after urging people to start returning to work. Now that's a complete reversal. It's not working out working from work. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson called for people to work from home if possible, and ordered all hospitality sites across England to start closing at 10 p.m. from Thursday. Well, you know what? Look, I'm half English myself. My mother's ancestors from Scotland and Great Britain, Northumberton, and Glasgow, Scotland. They settled in Tooele, Utah, of all places. I was watching a bar rescue episode the other day. It was a bar in Tooele, Utah, a town my ancestors helped settle from England and Scotland. Anyways, I'm in bed by 10 p.m. I'm sawing logs by 10 p.m. I guess the English are still celebrating in the pubs. Well, they're going to close down at 10 p.m. Whether that'll help the coronavirus outbreak, I don't know. But that's the new rules, and it's not good for the bars and the pub economy. There's also talk of broader restrictions as new coronavirus infections swell across Europe. Madrid has asked the Spanish army for help in battling the recent surge, while the number of new daily coronaviruses in the Netherlands topped 2,000 for the first time. We need to keep our eye on Sweden. I need to get back into looking at those stats on a daily or weekly basis, because Sweden went a completely different direction without lockdowns, and I know their mortality rate seemingly a lot lower. What is happening there? Now, I would say this about Europe. They're a little bit ahead of us as summer turns to fall. In fact, today's the first official day of fall. And things are getting colder over there. The virus is coming back. I just wonder about colder days ahead in the U.S., if that will spur corona. Well, I want to go over Monday's observations when we get back, okay? Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunnarsson. Dow up 40 right now, holding on to its gains. It's gone negative. It's gone positive. It's currently positive. The NASDAQ up 40. And just looking underneath the surface of the NASDAQ today, which I've had a chance to do a little bit, I don't see anything real exciting out there yet. We'll see how the day progresses. Yesterday, my observations were there was a strong move in the U.S. dollar. Well, you know, that's a safe haven, okay? That's considered a safe haven. But there wasn't a strong move in the bond market and the gold market, which are also considered safe havens. So not quite sure what happened with the dollar, but that was one of the reasons why our Dow was down at one point almost 1,000 points yesterday, rallying back, gaining half back before the end of the day. Gold was really weak yesterday. The gold stocks were really weak. I would think that this would present a buying opportunity. I'll be looking at that today. I own one gold stock in each of my portfolios that I manage. They're very weak right now, but I'm just thinking, without having seen the charts yet today, that that could be a buying opportunity in some of these gold stocks. I am bullish on gold going forward. The work-from-home stocks were extremely strong yesterday. We call it the COVID trade. There is an ETF that tracks all of that. WFH had a very strong day yesterday. That's the Direction Work From Home ETF. What's in it? Well, you can look it up. You can find the holdings in any ETF. But I got to believe that Zoom Video and Amazon and Etsy and Wayfair and CrowdStrike and DocuSign and on and on and on are part of that ETF. Those stocks were strong yesterday. Fastly, Peloton, etc. Roku had a very big day yesterday. They settled an dispute that they had with Comcast. Was it Comcast? I think it was Comcast. They resolved that dispute. Roku will start offering the Peacock on their Roku station. And Roku is breaking out to a new all-time high today. I own Roku in my emerging growth portfolio. Roku trading pretty actively here today. It's up 1.5%. And I know in the app, Roku is ranked currently at number one. Hello. That's the top-ranked stock in the Best Stocks Now app. So I do practice what I preach. Roku fell from grace for quite some time. I sold my Roku. You know, Roku got down to $58 per share. $58 at the bottom of the market earlier this year. And now it's $191. It's more than tripled since March. It's come back into grace, I guess you could say. We'll see what the Fed has to say. You've got Mnuchin before the House Financial Services Committee today. And you've got Powell the next 3 days. On Wednesday, he will testify before the House of Representatives Self-Select Subcommittee on Coronavirus Crisis. And he'll testify with Mnuchin once again before the Senate Banking Committee on Thursday regarding the quarterly CARES Act report to Congress. Okay, Oracle, TikTok, Walmart. That thing's still not resolved. We thought it was. Just a day after it was announced, Oracle's takeover of TikTok is looking rocky. Well, Trump has given it his blessing. The Chinese obviously have not given it their blessing. The Chinese government, which needs to approve the deal, has remained quiet on the transaction. So it has signaled its own reluctance through state-owned media. The editor-in-chief of the Global Times tweeted that Beijing would likely reject the takeover because the agreement would endanger China's national security interest and dignity. A lot of pride in China. There's a lot of pride. They don't like to be insulted at all. And they feel like they're being insulted in all of this. So that thing has not been solved yet. Trump says if we can save TikTok, we'll save it, and if we can't, we'll cut it off, he says. We have to have total security. Now, another reason that the tech stocks, especially the FANG stocks, are a bit weak right now, you can look at a chart of Google, G-O-O-G, or Alphabet, whichever you want to call it. I hear people call it Google more than I hear them call it Alphabet. The Justice Department is ready to brief state attorney generals on an expected Google antitrust suit. Here we go again. We've had many high-profile antitrust suits over the years. The Justice Department is set to brief. Oh, that sets up a long filing that sets up a filing potentially next week. So obviously they consider this an election move. You know, this is one of the few things the Democrats and the Republicans agree on. Afraid of big tech. Obviously Elizabeth Warren very much against big tech. Too big, needs to be broken up. And it looks like Google's going to be put on the hot seat. The department opened its probe of Google last year with a focus on the company's ad business. So it looks to have migrated to include Google's dominance of online search. There's an interesting documentary on Netflix, which I canceled, about Google's dominance and how they manipulate the searches. You got to check into that. No wonder there's a probe of Google by the antitrust department. News of the probe earlier this month revealed a split inside the DOJ. The U.S. Attorney William Barr reportedly pressing a quicker filing. Career lawyers wanted more time. Well, it sounds like maybe an election move here. Airbus CEO warns on forced job cuts. You know what? This recovery from COVID trade, I thought it was foolish to begin with. I'm sure there were some quick profits to be made, but Boeing, Airbus, American Airlines, United Airlines, Carnival Cruise Lines, they are right in the heart. They are in the wall of the hurricane that's come ashore. Airbus is looking to lay off 22,000 people. And, of course, the airlines themselves continue to bleed money, cash, daily. All right, what is good in the market? Well, there's plenty of that, too. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio with the Dow up 43, NASDAQ up about 50. It's mostly Amazon that's popping that NASDAQ higher. If you look underneath the surface of the NASDAQ, it's pretty mishy-mashy, not much going on there. But Amazon got an upgrade today, and that's definitely helping. The current state of the IPO market, I wrote about that in my newsletter over the weekend. It remains overheated. What can I say? You know, I'm a guy that has to enter in all these stocks into the Best Stocks Now app. I do it personally because I want to know about these companies going public and what they do for a living. And a lot of them are these SPACs, which a lot of times end up being some really hot new technology. I talked about the very useful technology. I talked about the one that bought into the LiDAR yesterday, and we've talked about Open Door, and we've talked about a plant-based food one and others. So I want to keep my pulse on these IPOs. I add them to a list that I monitor every day. Bill's private list. These are stocks underneath the radar that I keep my eyes on. I would just say that the IPO market, I'm adding 5-6 a day. That's a sign. That's a sign of an overheated IPO market. They're rushing to get the money before the money dries up, the IPO money. IPO money is high-risk money for the most part, especially in these biotechs. But there's seemingly more than enough high-risk money going around. To me, the top of the IPO market was last week with the Snowflake IPO, which doubled, went up 112% on the day it came out. But I see IPOs lined up on the runway as far as the eye can see. If you've ever been to LAX in Los Angeles and looked out to the east on all the planes, even San Diego to some extent, all the planes lined up, the lights coming in at night, just this long string as far as the eye can see. That's kind of what this IPO market still looks like, even at this point in time. That is another sign of kind of an overheated, exhausted market that is definitely in the throes of cooling off right now in that NASDAQ. Well, hardly a day goes by that we don't bring up Elon Musk and Tesla. Tesla's off. Yesterday was off today. Elon Musk is out with some intriguing information right in front of Tesla's Battery Day event tomorrow. Important note about Tesla Battery Day unveil tomorrow. This affects long-term production, especially Semi, Cybertruck, and Roadster. But what we announce will not reach serious high-volume production until 2022. So he's going to announce a bunch of new batteries, new technology that will go into high production in 2022. As for battery supplier issue, Musk says Tesla intends to increase battery cell purchases from Panasonic. I have that in my app. Panasonic is one that trades on the pink sheets, but it is in the app, PCRFY. Panasonic is currently ranked number 2,855 out of 5,364. And they'll also increase battery purchases from LG, which is LGCLF. I'm pretty sure that's in my app. Let's make sure it's not. Doggone, we're going to have to add that, LGCLF. And possibly other partners. He foresees battery shortages in 2022 and beyond unless they can take action themselves. See, if he relies on these other suppliers, he's going to get caught short, so he's got to do something in-house to ramp up battery supply. The implication is that strong electric vehicle demand is anticipated in the next few years. And I would just remind you that there is an ETF, DRIV, that is focused on the EV market. Now, one of the things that's been an interesting fight, some states require you to have a dealership where the consumer has to go through the dealership as opposed to buying the car online and having it delivered to your home. Michigan looks to slam the door tight on direct sales, but they're going to grandfather in Tesla. Okay, Michigan obviously hit the auto capital of the world. A bill introduced in Michigan's legislature last week would block any manufacturer other than Tesla from selling cars to customers without a dealer as an intermediary. So that would lock out the Rivians, the LI Lees, the Boyds, the other car Lucid Motors, maybe even Nikola if they ever have anything that works. This would lock them out. It's a bullseye to keep them out. We'll see if they pass that law, but that is a big fight. You know, going around the dealership is a pretty controversial move in the auto industry. In the meantime, Tesla is starting up in India with a research and development center. There's no stopping Elon. He continues to go forward. He has a product. He has a product that's in high demand that people like. And now he goes into India with an R&D center. In the meantime, Nikola, Trevor Milton, that's an interesting story to follow. They detailed the terms of Milton's split. He also resigned from the board, resigned as the CEO. I saw an interview this morning with Andrew Left. Citron Research, he thinks it's all a big fraud that Trevor Milton was gaming the system. Now, the difference between this one, if it does turn out to be a fraud, and the blood test company that was also a fraud, Nikola went public. Okay, the other one never made it to public company. It had a lot of private money, billions, in fact. She had raised billions. But Nikola actually backed into one of these SPACs and went public. And not only that, as major investors from Europe, publicly traded companies that have invested in Nikola, and, of course, the biggest player in it all, GM. How's Nikola doing today? NKLA. Nikola is actually up 4.7%. It was $93 a share at one point. Now it's $29 per share. Okay, the charging stations, Blink. In a blink of an eye, they're expanding new equipment installations across the U.S. and internationally. I talked about a recent IPO, a backdoor IPO called SBE, which is Switchback Energy. They're in the business of putting charging stations across America. Blink sold or deployed 539 nationwide, indicating a 100% year-over-year increase. EV charging stations in the U.S. and internationally during the summer of COVID lockdowns increased by 100%. Multifamily residential units accounted for 40% of all new locations. So when they're building apartment buildings and multifamily residential, many of them now are including a lot of charging stations. California, this should come as no surprise, represented 37% of the installations in the U.S. for Blink Charging. Another stock I keep my eye on, BLNK. A lot of hype always over the years surrounding that stock, but it's having a good day today. Pretty good chart also. Okay, here's the reason why the NASDAQ's up today. Amazon upgraded at Bernstein on pandemic-related permanent infection. Okay, So let's take a look here at Amazon stock. Amazon stock has been under heavy pressure recently. And I would just say that there's three major stocks right now that are sitting on major support levels. Amazon, major support level, 3,000, good entry point. Microsoft, right at 200, major support level, good entry point. And Amazon nearing $100 per share. To me, Amazon is a good buy here. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Dow now down 44, and NASDAQ pretty much giving up the ghost here. I thought it would. When the internals underneath the surface of the NASDAQ are not that good, it stands on weak ground, not a firm foundation. The NASDAQ is up 11 points, however. It's mostly Amazon. And by the way, Amazon's also getting into the Peloton business. They're going to create their own bike, an Echelon bike, which was developed in collaboration with Amazon. It's going to be cheaper than Peloton, and they will have some kind of a workout program like Peloton. You know, Bezos is the kind of guy, he looks around the world at anybody that's making a profit and says, you know what, I'm going to put that guy out of business or those people. I can do it better even if I don't make a profit for a while. That's okay. To me, Amazon, I'm surprised that Google's the first one under antitrust scrutiny. I would have to think that Amazon at some point in time is going to be under the microscope there at the Department of Justice. All right, I'm going to do a featured stock of the day, and it's going to be a stock that's currently ranked number 14 out of 5,364. It would seem to me that there's a demographic move away from attending sporting events. You know, that happened in horse racing many years ago. I used to go to Santa Anita Racetrack with my father when there would be 100,000 people at the racetrack on site. If it was a big race day like the Santa Anita Handicap, the Big Cap, or some big horse was running or whatever. I was just a little kid. You know, my dad, he was a hard worker, liked to recreate on the weekends. He'd say, tell my mom, hey, let's go for a picnic. Oh, my mom would go, that sounds good, Marv. Where should we go? Well, he says, they got this big race at Santa Anita. They got a nice infield there with grass. We can spread out a nice blanket and have some sandwiches or fried chicken and bet the ponies. Of course, my mom, you know, she was two different people. My mother would be at the racetrack. My dad's reading the racing form, okay? And my dear mom was preparing her Sunday school lesson for Sunday. So I grew up in the middle of this. Luckily, I did follow my mother. I've been a Sunday school teacher over the years. But I have followed the horse races over the years also, a little bit out of the corner of my eye. But anyways, nobody goes to the racetrack anymore. You could go to Santa Anita on a Saturday and there's 3,000 or 4,000 people. It's kind of pathetic. Where are they? They're at home. They're gambling online from their couch. So not only has this move hit the retail consumer sector, it's also hit the gambling sector. Now you have Barstool Sports, you have DraftKings, you have fantasy football, and of course COVID has only thrown gasoline on this fire and sped up this move away from attending the event live and instead sitting at home watching it and betting on it. Betting on all these different propositions, you know. that are out there. And, of course, DraftKings, a major player. But let's not forget Penn National Gaming. I owned it. I should have never sold it, but I got back into it. The Barstool thing, I think, is a big, big move for them. And I own it in my emerging growth portfolio. Believe it or not, here's a gambling stock, gambling on sports. It's ranked number 14 overall in my app out of 5,364. That's what I love about the app. It's not prejudiced. It's not biased. It doesn't care what industry you're from. The cannabis stocks have just as good a chance as Pfizer as being a top-ranked stock in the app. But Penn is number 14 right now. A year ago, it was number 2,449. I think you can draw a conclusion from that, that COVID has played into Penn's hands. You want to be on the right side of the street of COVID and not on the wrong side of the street. And I see today that Penn is getting a big upgrade. The symbol is Penn. It's now a $10 billion company. I saw a long interview with the CEO of Barstool Sports the other day. And who is it today that's upgrading the stock? It's right. Barstool Sports app takes off on opening weekend. The hardest working man from a couch over the weekend may have been Barstool founder Dave Portnoy, who tweeted videos of the reaction to his live bets on the platform all Saturday and Sunday. The launch of Penn National Gaming's Barstool app was noticed by Bank of America, which is out with a positive review of the debut in Pennsylvania. The firm says, Bank of America that is, its initial impressions are positive given the app's ease of use and the leverage of the Barstool brand. They think it can become the number one sports betting and overall sports app in the App Store. Well, it was for much of the weekend. BFA assigns a target price of 85 to Penn. I have a five-year target price. I go out further of $141 per share, giving it 100% upside potential. Ranked number 14 overall in my app. We own it in the emerging growth portfolio. It's the featured stock of the day, Penn. P-E-N-N, which, by the way, also has a little horse racing exposure, too. All right, my guys are busy. We're talking to people all over the country. There's a lot of folks out there that are worried that their advisor doesn't have their backside when things get rocky. Yeah, it's a lot easier to manage money when the NASDAQ goes up 65% in 6 or 7 months. Just buy a tech stock and you're in business. But when things start to get rocky, when the harvest sometimes needs to be made here and there and protection needs to be in place, I would say that that's where my industry is grossly lacking, grossly. Instead, they'll give up all the gains. They'll go down 50, 60%, whatever. I saw it in 2000. I saw it in 2008. Just like football. You got to have a good offense, obviously, or baseball, but you got to have a good defense, too, from time to time. And this is one of those times. All right, give us a call, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, because there are opportunities on the long side, too, right now. Or get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. And by the way, have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.